This is the Form 1 LTIS test. The Form 1 test materials are blue. Check that you have the correct form. Open your test booklet to page 1. On this test, you will hear different voices. You will hear these three teachers.
I'm one of the teachers you will hear.
I'm another teacher you will hear.
I'm another teacher you will hear.
You will also hear these two students.
I'm one of the students you will hear.
I'm the other student you will hear.
Now turn the page. Part 1. Follow classroom directions. Questions 1 through 4. In this part of the test, you will look at a picture and hear a teacher give three different directions to students in a class. Choose the directions A, B, or C that the students in the picture have followed. Then fill in the correct circle on your answer sheet. Let's do sample A together. Listen carefully. A.
Stand up and get into your groups.
B.
Take out your homework and go over the answers with your partner.
C.
Sit down and look at this equation on the board.
Now fill in the circle. If you chose C, sit down and look at this equation on the board, you are correct. Now let's do questions 1 through 4. Number 1. A.
Clean the lens of the spotlight with a soft cloth.
B.
Go up and turn off the spotlight.
C.
Shine the spotlight directly on the actor as he speaks.
Number 2. A.
Anita, please come to the front of the class and write the names of the presidents under their pictures.
B.
Anita, please come to the front of the class and put the picture of the president on the timeline.
C.
Anita, please take out a piece of paper and write the names of the presidents on your paper.
Number 3. A.
Take out a sheet of paper and copy the notes from the board.
B.
Take out your homework and pass it to the first person in each row.
C.
Read the notes on the board and discuss them with your partner.
Number 4. A.
Take out your notes from yesterday's class discussion. Share your ideas with the student next to you. Ask each other questions about the notes.
B.
Review the notes on the board, then review the chapter. Create 10 questions about the information.
C.
Take out your notes for your speech. Come to the front of the class. As you speak to the class, remember to look up from your notes.
Now turn the page. Part 2. Comprehend mathematical language. Questions 5 through 8. In this part of the test, you will hear several math word problems. You will hear each word problem 2 times. After you hear each word problem, look at the three expressions and choose the one that matches the word problem you heard. Then fill in the correct circle on your answer sheet. Let's do sample B together. Listen carefully.
Ms. Ang has 33 students in her first period English class. One-third of the students failed the last test, and two-thirds of the students passed the last test. To calculate the number of students who passed the last test, you need to multiply the total number of students, 33, by two-thirds. Which expression should you use?
Listen again.
Ms. Ang has 33 students in her first period English class. 1/3 of the students failed the last test, and 2/3 of the students passed the last test. To calculate the number of students who passed the last test, you need to multiply the total number of students, 33, by 2/3. Which expression should you use?
Now fill in the circle. If you chose B, the second expression, you are correct. Now let's do questions 5 through 8. Number 5.
Lynn wants to bring cake for all 32 students in her class. One cake will serve 8 students. To figure out the number of cakes she needs to bring, Lynn divides 32 students by 8. Which expression does Lynn use?
Listen again.
Lynn wants to bring cake for all 32 students in her class. One cake will serve 8 students. To figure out the number of cakes she needs to bring, Lynn divides 32 students by 8. Which expression does Lynn use?
Number 6.
Cruz has 3 library books that are 4 days overdue. The fine for an overdue book is 10 cents a day. Cruz wants to figure out how much money he owes in library fines. He multiplies 4 days by 10 cents, and then he multiplies that answer by 3. Which expression does Cruz use?
Listen again.
Cruz has 3 library books that are 4 days overdue. The fine for an overdue book is 10 cents a day. Cruz wants to figure out how much money he owes in library fines. He multiplies 4 days by 10 cents, and then he multiplies that answer by 3. Which expression does Cruz use?
Number 7.
Teenagers spend 25% of their time watching TV. They also spend 25% of their time in school, and 40% sleeping. To figure out the percentage of time teenagers spend on other activities, you need to add 25%, 25%, and 40%. Then you need to subtract that number from 100%. Which expression should you use?
Listen again.
Teenagers spend 25% of their time watching TV. They also spend 25% of their time in school and 40% sleeping. To figure out the percentage of time teenagers spend on other activities, you need to add 25%, 25%, and 40%. Then you need to subtract that number from 100%. Which expression should you use?
Number 8.
It is -5 degrees Fahrenheit outside today. The temperature will go down 10 more degrees tomorrow. To figure out tomorrow's temperature, you need to add -5 degrees and -10 degrees together. Which expression should you use?
Listen again.
It is -5 degrees Fahrenheit outside today. The temperature will go down 10 more degrees tomorrow. To figure out tomorrow's temperature, you need to add -5 degrees and -10 degrees together. Which expression should you use?
Part 3. Understand Classroom Dialogue. Questions 9 through 17. In this part of the test, you will hear conversations between a teacher and a student in a class. After you hear each conversation, you will answer some questions about what you heard. Fill in the correct circle on your answer sheet. Let's listen to the first conversation. You will hear a student and a teacher talking in a science classroom. Listen carefully.
Why do ducks think that the first duck they see after hatching is their mother?
Well,
Some animals, such as ducks and geese, are born with the instinct to recognize and follow their mother. But they aren't born knowing what their mother will look like. So instead, they start following the first moving object they see. This is called imprinting.
You mean it's an instinct? The baby duck thinks the first animal it sees is its mother?
Well, not the first animal, but the first moving thing. If a baby duck sees a person walk by or an airplane fly over before it sees its mother, it will think that the person or the plane is its mother.
That's a strange instinct.
Well, most of the time it's not so strange. Usually the first moving object a baby duck sees is its mother, so there's no problem.
Now let's do questions 9 through 11. Number 9. What is the best title for this passage? A. Animal's habits. B. The imprinting instinct. C. How birds hatch. Now fill in the circle. Number 10. When a duck hatches, the first thing it usually sees is A. Its mother. B. A person. C. An airplane. Now fill in the circle. Number 11. The process of imprinting in nature A. Confuses baby birds. B. Works well most of the time. C. Eliminates the weakest animals. Now fill in the circle. Now turn the page. Now let's listen to the second conversation. You will hear a teacher and a student talking in a mathematics classroom. Listen carefully.
Have you ever heard of Omar Khayyam?
I'm not really sure. Who was he?
He was a Persian mathematician who lived from about 1048 to 1131 AD. His family name, Khayyam, means tent maker, which was probably his father's trade. But he was a very educated man.
What exactly did he do?
Actually, he's famous for a number of things. In Persia, he was most famous for his book on algebra. Then, after he'd become famous, the king asked him to work on revising the calendar. Omar Khayyam built an astronomical observatory that made all the observations for the new calendar. The calendar he produced was actually more accurate than the calendar we use today. Nowadays, we have one leap year every 4 years. But Khayyam had 8 leap years every 33 years.
Did he do anything besides science and math?
Believe it or not, in the West, he was most famous for his poetry. His works were translated into English about 150 years ago.
It sounds boring.
Actually, it isn't. It's about some very exciting ideas. Khayyam believed that people should live for the moment and enjoy the pleasures of life while they have a chance.
Now let's do questions 12 through 14. Number 12. What was Omar Khayyam most famous for in Persia? A. His book on algebra. B. His lifestyle. C. His tent making. Number 13. How is Omar Khayyam's calendar different from the one we use today? A. Khayyam's calendar is 33 years ahead of our calendar. B. There were more months in Khayyam's calendar. C. Khayyam's calendar had a different number of leap years. Number 14. What is Omar Khayyam most famous for in the West? A. His calendar. B. His astronomical observatory. C. His poetry. Now let's listen to the third conversation. You will hear a teacher and a student talking in an English classroom. Listen carefully.
In Romeo and Juliet, is the story's climax when Romeo kills Tybalt or when Romeo and Juliet die at the end?
Well, in Shakespeare's tragedies, the climax always appears in the third act. Romeo kills Tybalt in the third act, so we consider that the climax of the play.
But if that's the climax, why isn't it at the end?
Because the story has to be resolved after the climax. Remember, when the story starts, we are introduced to characters who are in some kind of conflict.
You mean like Romeo and Juliet wanted to get married, but the families were fighting?
Exactly. So the tension builds. We can see this rising action all the way to the climax, when Romeo kills Tybalt. Then later in the story is the resolution.
So in this case, the resolution of the story happens at the end of the story, when Romeo and Juliet die. So the resolution is the sad ending.
Right.
Now let's do questions 15 through 17. Number 15. What is the main topic of this passage? A. The death of Tybalt in Shakespeare's story Romeo and Juliet. B. The conflict in Shakespeare's story Romeo and Juliet. C. The climax of Shakespeare's story Romeo and Juliet. Number 16. In Shakespeare's tragedies, when does the climax occur? A. At the end. B. In Act 3. C. Before the rising action. Number 17. The resolution of Romeo and Juliet occurs when A. Romeo and Juliet die. B. Romeo and Juliet try to get married. C. Tybalt dies. Now turn the page. Part 4. Listen and respond to academic lectures. Questions 18 through 24. In this part of the test, you will hear a teacher talking to a class. After you hear each passage, you will answer some questions about what you heard. Fill in the correct circle on your answer sheet. Let's listen to the first passage. You will hear a science teacher talking. Listen carefully.
There are three main types of rocks: igneous, sedimentary, and metamorphic. Let's talk about igneous rocks first. Igneous rocks, that word igneous, it's like the word ignite, to ignite a fire. So igneous rocks come from fire. There are two main kinds of igneous rocks: extrusive and intrusive. When lava from a volcano cools on the outside of the Earth's surface, that's an extrusive igneous rock. Extrusive igneous rocks are made outside the surface of the Earth. When lava cools underneath the Earth's surface, it's called intrusive igneous rock. Intrusive igneous rock is formed under the Earth's surface. Now let's talk about the second main type of rocks, sedimentary rocks. Sedimentary rocks are made up of sediments. Sediments are sand and other materials that are compacted together by very strong pressure. Sediments and the other materials are brought down to the oceans by rivers. Once they're on the bottom of the ocean floor, there's a lot of weight above them. Over a very long period of time, the pressure presses all these different sediments together and forms sedimentary rock. Metamorphic rocks, the third main type of rocks, are rocks that have undergone change. Kind of like how a butterfly goes through a metamorphosis when it changes from a caterpillar to a butterfly. Metamorphosis means change. So metamorphic rocks started out as either igneous rocks or sedimentary rocks, but something happened to them. When these igneous or sedimentary rocks encountered both heat and pressure, they changed into metamorphic rock, like marble or slate. Heat and pressure change igneous or sedimentary rock to metamorphic rock.
Now let's do questions 18 through 21. Number 18. What is the main topic of this passage? A. Volcano eruptions. B. Metamorphosis. C. Types of rocks. Number 19. What are the two types of igneous rock? A. Extrusive and intrusive. B. Marble and sandstone. C. Sedimentary and metamorphic. Number 20. Sedimentary rocks are formed by A. Cooling of the earth. B. Pressure on the ocean floor. C. Eruption of lava. Number 21. Metamorphic rocks are igneous and sedimentary rocks that are changed by A. Rocks and sand. B. Heat and pressure. C. The ocean's tides and currents. Now let's listen to the second passage. You will hear an English language arts teacher talking. Listen carefully.
One of the most challenging parts of understanding something you read is understanding the tone or mood of the passage. This word, tone, is usually connected in our minds with tone of voice. So, for example, you know by your mother's tone if she's angry. There's something in her voice when she calls your name and says, Enrique, that tells you she's angry and you know you had better move quickly. But for an author who writes, tone is expressed by using certain kinds of words that carry emotion. This is what we call connotation, using words that carry emotion. Connotation is in contrast to denotation, which means a word's dictionary meaning. Let me give you an example. I might say, I am thrifty, but he is cheap. So here the word thrifty has a positive meaning. It means to be careful with money. But the word cheap has a negative meaning, right? So a cheap person has money but doesn't want to spend it or share it with others. And still, both words mean being careful with money. Okay, now think about these sentences. I am energetic, but she is hyper. Energetic has a positive meaning, but hyper has a negative meaning. She is curious, while he is nosy. So here, too, one word, curious, has a positive meaning, and the other word, nosy, has a negative meaning. So I've given you examples of words that convey positive and negative feelings. So if you are asked to figure out the tone of a piece of writing, one way to do it is to go through and identify all of the words that have connotation. If they're all positive, then the tone is positive too.
Now let's do questions 22 through 24. Number 22. What is the main topic of this passage? A. Obeying your mother's voice. B. Understanding tone in writing. C. How to write a good paper. Number 23. When a word has a specific connotation, it A. causes confusion in meaning. B. must be carefully defined. C. carries mood or emotion. Number 24. What should you do to determine the mood of a piece of writing? A. Identify the emotional content of the words. B. Imagine how the words sound. C. Count the number of words in each sentence. You have now completed the listening section. Please stop the recording now. Now we are ready to begin the reading test. Remember to mark your answers in the reading column of the answer sheet. Let's turn to the next page in the test booklet, page 12. Part 1. Demonstrate vocabulary knowledge. In this part of the test, you will read some sentences and choose the best answer to complete each sentence. Read each sentence. Then choose the best answer to complete the sentence. Fill in the correct circle on your answer sheet. Now look at sample A on page 12 of the test booklet. Read the sentence in sample A. Then choose the best answer that completes the sentence. Fill in the correct circle on your answer sheet. Be sure to fill in the circle completely, and fill in only one circle, because only one answer is correct. You should have filled in the circle for C, machines. The sentence should say, "Some of the first machines in America were used to make clothing." The other three answers, petitions, communications, and colleges, are not correct. Remember to fill in the circle for the best answer to complete the sentence. Keep going until you come to the stop sign after number 7. If you finish early, check your work. Do not pass the stop sign until I ask you to. You may start working now. Stop working on this part. Now turn to page 14. Part 2. Read a graph. In this part of the test, you will look at a graph and answer some questions about it. Look at the graph and answer each question. Fill in the correct circle on your answer sheet. Remember to fill in the circle for the best answer to each question. Keep going until you come to the stop sign after number 11. If you finish early, check your work. Do not pass the stop sign until I ask you to. You may start working now. Stop working on this page. Now turn to page 16. Part 3. Read and respond to academic texts. In this part of the test, you will read and answer questions about some passages. Read each passage and answer each question. Fill in the correct circle on your answer sheet. Remember to fill in the circle for the best answer to each question. Keep going until you come to the stop sign after number 26. If you finish early, check your work. Do not pass the stop sign until I ask you to. You may start working now. Stop working on this page. This is the end of the reading test. Please close your test booklets.